Good evening, everybody. It's so good to see you tonight. I think I've said this to you before, but I'll say it again tonight. I am my own worst critic. You know, I will assure you that being in ministry, and anybody that's in ministry or anybody that's in church leadership, probably leadership in any capacity, whether the church or business or anything else, there is no shortage of critics that you have when you are putting yourself in a position of leadership. And so, you know, you have to weather that, and you have to be prepared to be able to know how to deal with that as best you can. But no, it never fails that no matter any kind of criticism that I might ever receive, I can always outdo it for myself. And because of that, there are times whenever I'm really kind of beating myself up about something, the way I handled something, or I should have handled it different, or I should have reached out to that person and I didn't, or, you know, I should have, that sermon this morning, that should have been 20 minutes, not 40 minutes. I just tell you, that's just the way it is. It should have been. And so, you know, I wrestle with that, and I think about all that stuff and kind of be, what's that? Oh, yeah, right. I knew I was going to get some of that. But you know, I wrestle with all that kind of stuff in my mind, and you know, and I know you do too. You know, you look at life and you think, man, sometimes you just get down on yourself, you know? And it's in those moments that our souls need affirmation. We need encouragement. Barnabas was really good at encouraging people. You read about him in the book of Acts. And he knew how to speak life into people. And it was a tremendous gift that he had. And there are Christians today in the church that have that gift too. And I am so thankful for those that do. The Holy Spirit, part of His work in the life of the believer, is that of affirmation. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that God has given us the Spirit of adoption. And the Spirit Himself gives testimony along with our spirits that we are the children of God, because there are times whenever the circumstances of life make us start to grow weary, and we even question whether or not we're right with God, and the Holy Spirit is speaking in our hearts and giving a testimony and crying out, Abba, Father, and saying, you are God's child. And I need that affirmation. There's a folder in my office that I keep tucked away, a manila folder, and at the top on the tab is written letters of affirmation. And over the years, I have received letters in other works and other places that I've been, and a load of them here from you, that just at the right time, God stirs people to write something to me that affirms me. And I put it in a file, and when I'm feeling down on myself, I pull that folder out and I read some of those letters to encourage my spirit, because the soul needs a blessing. That's what I want to talk about for you tonight. I want us to explore for the next few moments is in this soul-keeping series is how that your soul needs a blessing. It was made to need a blessing. Before I get into it, let me just give this side note. Sometimes I think we're hesitant to speak words of affirmation and encouragement and blessing into the lives of people. And it really kind of bothers me whenever we say these kinds of things. We'll tell somebody something and we'll say, well, now don't get the big head. It's like we try to encourage, but then almost we stab. It's like we give them the balloon and then we pop it right as we give it to them. And it's like, man, thanks for giving me this deflated balloon of affirmation. And I mean, I understand that we don't want to try to make people be prideful or arrogant, but let's be careful about that, I think. I think we don't need to be hesitant to breathe life into people. And that's what a blessing is breathing life into the souls of people. And I just really think that's one of the ministries that we as Christians should be actively engaged in. And I'll admit to you, I don't always do it well. I'm trying to get better at it and learn how to do it better. But I think all of us should be about the business of not stealing life, not sucking the life out of people with our interactions with them, but breathing life into people, because the soul needs a blessing. Why? Because souls can become weary. The psalmist said it this way. He said, "My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." The Psalms are filled with this kind of language, that the soul can become weary, it can feel depleted, it can feel like a barren desert. And the soul is crying out for the refreshing rain of just some word of affirmation, some word of blessing that someone would bring to my soul to make me feel like that I have worth and value and I'm appreciated as a person. I think that many souls in our culture today are weary. And the reason there are so many weary souls in our nation today is because we find ourselves currently in a climate of public discourse that is filled with cursing. It is filled with negativity and vitriol. We see it everywhere around us. We are a culture today of cursing. But cursing other people has a wearisome effect on the soul. But on the contrary, speaking a blessing into the soul of another person can reverse the curse. Our souls can have one of two postures toward our interactions with other people that I think the Bible outlines for us. Your posture toward the people you interact with, in the way you interact with them, is either issuing a curse or a blessing in the way that you interact with them. And our souls need, they cry out for a blessing. Our souls, in fact, are healthy whenever they receive blessing and they know how to give blessing. Well, what is a blessing? A blessing is not just a word that we say. A true blessing is a balm for the soul. A blessing might be defined this way. I like the way that John Ortberg in his book defines a blessing. He said, I like his language here. He says, "A blessing is projecting good into the life of another person." You're trying to project good into the life of another person. Because our words have great power. Our words have power to either heal the soul or to kill it. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of both life and death." And whenever we utter cursing toward another human soul, it steals the life of the soul. And you say, well, how in the world might I be guilty of cursing someone else? Don't think of cursing just in terms of swearing. Don't think of cursing simply like you're putting a hex on somebody. A curse can be uttered with an eyebrow raised, or a condescending look, or a shrugged shoulder, or a cold shoulder. Curses can happen oh so subtly and craftily and quietly, but they have powerful effect and they kill the soul. But blessings, oh, blessings, they give life And the soul needs to that vibrancy of life projected into it. We feel valued and respected and dignified and loved whenever we receive a blessing. Every human soul was made by God, everyone. Every human soul is precious in the eyes of God. Every human soul was made and crafted specifically by the hand of the Creator in His own image, and it has inherent worth and beauty, every single soul. And thus, every soul deserves a blessing. Even the souls that have been blackened by sin and broken by the curse. Blessings have the power to bring light into dark souls. And the soul was made, it was wired by God to give blessing. Now, we're instructed in the Word that we ought to think of other people not just as shadows that exist around us, but that we are a part of a human family, each one of us made in the image of God, each one of us offspring of the Almighty One. And therefore, when Scripture says that the human soul was made to love your neighbor as yourself, that means that I recognize the value of every human being around me, and the soul is made to recognize that value by uttering life and blessing into the people around me. Blessing and cursing, the two ways that we treat people. But healthy souls have learned how to bless. Perhaps the world's oldest blessing is spoken by Aaron over the nation of Israel and is found in Numbers, the 6th chapter. If you'd like to look there, I will read it for us tonight. Numbers chapter 6, beginning at verse 22, gives us the framing of the blessing. The Lord said to Moses, Numbers 6, verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. So are you ready for a clinic on how to utter blessing into the human souls of people around you? You're about to get it right here from Scripture. Here's how to bless. Say to them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. This blessing gives some very practical instruction for how that we can speak life into the souls of other people around us. It's somewhat of a how-to guide in how to give a blessing. Much like I think we could almost view this in a similar vein as to what we traditionally have referred to as the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives in His Sermon on the Mount. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, but in reality, Jesus is giving a model prayer. He's giving a short template, an example that has components to it that are designed to instruct us into how to craft or fabricate or construct our own personalized prayers that fit around the model or the template that Jesus gives. Well, just like Jesus gives a model prayer, in many ways, this is a model blessing. How to speak blessing into the life of another person. Now, before we actually look at each one of these components in brief tonight, I would just say at the outset that to be intentional about speaking a blessing into the life of another person is something that cannot be done hurriedly. It is something that takes time and intentionality. It's a learned skill. Some people do this extremely well. I've known some Christians in my life that knew how to look you in the eye and just speak the blessing of God right into you. But many more of us, myself included, we got a long way to go in learning how to do that in a way that doesn't seem forced or manipulated or fabricated, but seems very, that is very genuine and honest. We usually think we're unworthy to receive a blessing. One of the greatest lessons that I learned early on in my Christian walk from the preacher that I grew up under as a child in my home congregation where I was came to faith, he would often say to me and some other young boys in the church, he would say, when somebody gives you a compliment, receive it. When somebody gives you a compliment, just say thank you and receive it. Don't dismiss it or say, oh yeah, you know, don't give some reason why they shouldn't be giving you the blessing. They're giving you a blessing. They're doing a God work in you. Receive it. You may not even believe what they're saying, but they believe it, and they're trying to speak something into you, so receive it. And don't feel like it's something that has to be reciprocated. It's not like we're bartering here. It's like, you give me two of your chickens, and I'll give you, you know, I'll give you a bushel of corn. It's not, you know, we're not, you don't feel like you got to reciprocate and say, well, since he said something nice about me, I got to find something nice to say about him. That's not, we're not talking about flattery here. We're not talking about trading compliments. We're talking about someone giving a blessing and another receiving the blessing. So a true blessing is very much a grace gift. And it is to be given, and it is to be quietly received. Now, in order to give a blessing like that, you may have to grab a person's attention in order to hold their attention long enough and encourage them to quietly and humbly receive the blessing. And that may require doing it in private, taking someone over to the side, looking them in the eye. And it's not something that's random, but instead it is something that is given forethought, and it is something that is focused on the specific person in front of you. One of the greatest exercises that I've greatly enjoyed over the years in small group settings is there have been opportunities where I've been a participant in a small group, and the facilitator will do an exercise like this. They'll say, okay, we're going to go around the circle today, and as we go around the circle, I'll give you a few minutes here to think about it first, but as you think about it, I want you to think about the person to your left and what you know about them and what you've noticed about them in their Christian walk. And then I want you to turn to the person to your left, look them in the eye, and tell them what you're thankful to God about that you see in their life. See, that is an exercise of speaking, of learning to speak life and encouragement and blessing into the lives of other Christians. It's very focused and intentional and specific to the person. Now, as we look at the example here, just in brief, it begins this way. The Lord bless you. Notice that this blessing starts, it's not something that is really coming from me. It is something that I'm recognizing from the Lord, asking the Lord's blessing upon the person. That the Lord would constantly be the one who brings good into your life. Looking you in the eye and speaking life into your soul. The Lord breathe life into you. Give blessing to you. And the Lord keep you. You're speaking God's protection and care into the life of another person. And when you, I think when we do this, however it is that we might phrase it, not necessarily verbatim in these words, but however you phrase it, the emphasis is on the word you. The Lord keep you. It is specific to them. You're asking God's protection and care upon this person as an individual. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. I don't know what you think about when you think about a shining face, but I know I have seen many shining faces. Usually, in fact, I've seen some shining faces in this very room. I think of times that I've had the opportunity to be sitting here with lots of parents and grandparents whenever little preschoolers are graduating from Stepping Stones. And you see people usually holding cameras and phones with flashing lights and with video engaged. But what I notice the most is the shine on the face. Someone that is proud of their grandchild, or a smitten lover looking in the face of their beloved one. When you're speaking this to someone and saying, "The Lord make His face to shine upon you," you are saying to the person, "May the glory of God shine in your face, that you have an overwhelming sense of His love for you and His graciousness toward you. The Lord turn His face toward you." This act of being of blessing is one where you're saying that you are wishing for this individual that they would be fully present and that God would be fully present before them, that the Lord's face would be fully turned upon them, that instead of just a glancing kiss of recognition, that actually God would look eye to eye, face to face in this person, and that God's power and presence and will and blessing would be fully turned upon them. For what purpose? To give you peace. Oh, peace. Is that not what we all long for in life? Is a sense that God has shined His face upon us, that we've been accepted and adored and loved in Christ, because of Christ in Him, and that we have peace, an undisturbed tranquility of soul. Make no mistake, blessing is not empty flattery. Blessing is not scurrying around trying to scrape together some kind of complimentary thing that you can say about another person. It's more than just looking for some achievement to be able to recognize in another person, although that is a good thing. A blessing is much more than that. It's much deeper than just acknowledgement or recognition. A blessing is affirmation of the value of another soul. A blessing is speaking worth into another person, and the soul needs it. Blessing a soul is what makes a soul healthy. A blessing is what can make a soul come alive. So I would just close these thoughts by speaking a blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. If there's anything we can do to help you to cultivate a healthy soul in your life by turning your life's attention to the gardener of the soul and the comforter of your spirit, we want to introduce you to Jesus and all that He has done and what the Holy Spirit's gift of His presence can continually do in your life. If we can help you in your walk with Christ or coming to Him and giving your life to Him in repentance and baptism. We would love to do that tonight as we stand and as we sing.